Blessings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am just so excited to be with you all this morning, and I'm going to be very honest with you. Actually, last night, I had a dream that I was going to be preaching this morning, and here we are. I'm just so excited that the Holy Spirit gave me a word to pray even at 6 in the morning for you, and that is that I pray that you are just as unified as the Father is to the Son, and that you'd be unified together here at the Church of Harpeth Heights and the rest of the church. Oh man, I'm just so excited to be with you all this morning. My name is Jacob Bell, and I am a ministry resident at the Church of Laughlin Springs. Now, if you know anything about the Church of Laughlin Springs, you would know that the pastor is David Hanna. David is by far one of the coolest people I've ever met. He definitely knows, I'm pretty sure he wrote the book of fun. He just knows how to have fun, and he's just so cool. But he's also a loving husband, a loving father, and just a great dear brother of mine. So I'm just so thankful to be with him at the Church of Laughlin Springs. My wife and I get to do ministry over in East Nashville, and we get to partner together over there at Laughlin, just seeing the people that are coming to know Jesus as we are present with the community there. But not just the community at East Nashville, we also live in a place where we also get to do life with people. And where do we live? Well, we live at Trevecca University, a Christian university in the heart of Nashville, if you're listening to 88.7 YFM. It's a great place. My wife is a resident director at Trevecca. And what is she resident directing? Well, she's a resident director of freshman girls in a freshman dorm. Now, we got married 6 months ago, and if there's anything that we're learning, it's that we cannot love each other without Jesus. We just can't. Every morning and every day, we're learning over and over and over again how to love each other. So we got married 6 months ago, which means that we started in August. We got married in July, and I got to adopt 112 freshman girls. Let me tell you just one story that's just so unique to me. I came home at 9-ish o'clock, and, you know, I'm so tired. I worked a really hard day, or at least I like to believe that I worked a really hard day. And, you know, I just needed some much-needed, much-deserved rest. And out of nowhere, there's this weird screaming happening in the lobby of Johnson Hall, which is the dorm that we live in. I'm just like, what on earth is that noise? And I get out of bed and walk to the lobby, and I find all these girls dancing to Footloose. Of all things, they're watching Footloose and learning how to do the moves. It seems that Kevin Bacon is still inspiring the next generation of people. It's just so funny. But otherwise, we just love the people at Trevecca. But there's one person that me and Catherine, my wife, have come to love, and it's this guy, this man named Tom. Tom is a chef at Trevecca. He is an awesome man. I tell you what, when I first met him, he just looked me straight in the eyes and said, "Whatever you want, I have it for you." It was just so cool. It's just this man coming up to just get to know us. He is the chef of a restaurant called The Hub at Trevecca. And what you don't know about The Hub is that a year ago, it was not a place that you would really want to eat at. It was just, it had some greasy, very greasy burnt burgers and some good pizza. But as soon as this man, Tom, came in and just completely transformed the place, people just kept on coming in, and people just wanted to come and just, wow, what has happened to The Hub? It's just a really sweet place. How did this all happen? And we can't help but say, oh, it's this man, Tom. Tom's the guy. And that's just it. It's those words right there that make the difference. That as soon as we met this man, Tom, we couldn't help but talk about him. Because the place that was The Hub before was completely dull. It didn't have a lot of life. But as soon as we got to experience the newness, the sweetness of what was happening at The Hub, man, we could not help but tell people about this man, Tom. We just couldn't help it. Meeting after meeting, post after post, we hear that we have to be good spiritual Christians over and over and over again. We got to do this. We have to get this thing done. And we're told to obey in this type of stuff. But church, let me go ahead and tell you that obedience is not the action that makes you good. Obedience is the reaction of encountering a good God who already loves you. Who already loves you. And because he already loves you and you encounter him, you can't help but tell people about him. So rather this like this very dictator like, oh, you got to do it because you're a good Christian. No, church, no, that's not it. It's you've encountered a good God who loves you and you can't help but tell others, man, this God, this Jesus, there's something about this Jesus that's just so sweet and I got to tell. It's because of that that we're in this word today. It's this man, Jesus. Will you stand with me in honor of God's word as we read it this morning? John chapter 9, verses 1 through 11. As he was passing by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus answered. This came about so that God's works might be displayed in him. We must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After he said these things, he spit on the ground, made some mud from saliva, and spread the mud on his eyes. Go, he told him. Wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he left, washed, and came back seeing. His neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar said, isn't this the one who used to sit begging? Some said, he's the one. Others were saying, no, but he looks like him. He kept saying, I'm the one. So they asked him, then how are your eyes opened? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and told me, go to Siloam and wash. So when I went and washed, I received my sight. This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we love you. And hallowed be your name. You are a father who we get to cry Abba to. And just by praying, Father, we're reminded of the blood of Jesus that we've been atoned for. That we are sons and daughters. Father, I pray for this morning is that we are one unified body. That in and through the urgency of just telling people about this man Jesus, we would also be urgent to be unified because it is in our unity that a lost world will know that Jesus is here, that he's with us. So Father, I rebuke Satan to say all these sanctions, Lord, that you have torn down the dividing wall and you have unified us together as sons and daughters. And Father, I pray that you stir our hearts through your Holy Spirit, that we would see the gospel as a beautiful act that we get to share with people because we just can't help it. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This week I was in a meeting that just somehow happened, honestly, this week. I got to sit down with several college ministers throughout the city of Nashville. We got together at this church called Belmont Church, and I was starting to learn a little bit more about this movement that's happening in the month of February called Awaken Nashville. Now, what Awaken Nashville is a bunch of churches. How many? 300 churches. Over 30,000 people of over different traditions and different denominations simply getting together, dedicating the month of February to prayer and fasting, to strategically intercede for those who don't know Jesus. That's happening in February. And I got into that meeting where I was just praying, Father, I just pray that there's no commercialness to this. There's no consumerness to this. It's not about a numbers game. It's not about putting out fires. It's simply about telling the world, the peoples of your son Jesus. And as soon as I got into this meeting, that's what I encountered. I encountered a Holy Spirit that just said, hey, just tell them about me. In the month of February, just tell them about me. So it was cool to be in that meeting. Now, what we learn in that meeting is that, again, all these churches are just praying for unity, praying that we would gather together and scatter together in sentness to love on people and pray over them. And as I was in this meeting, I was just like, oh my gosh, they just can't help it. They just can't help but talk about Jesus. They're motivated by that gospel, that sweet encounter that they have had. And coming from that meeting and just thinking about that, like, oh my goodness, we need to hear that as a church. We need to hear that. The urgency of unity causes us together to not just see we're not alone. We're not alone in just sharing this gospel. We have a whole body together. And that's why I'm so glad we're in this text this morning, because we're unified. We're a unified body getting to talk about the one thing that has made us all together, and that's Jesus. So I'm excited. I'm very excited to be with you all again. I just can't stop talking about that. So let's look at chapter 9, verse 1, just verse 1. As he was passing by, he saw a man blind from birth. As he was passing by, he saw a man blind from birth. Now this is the first thing that happens in this text. And all that we're going to talk about this morning is literally just three movements: how Jesus saw, how Jesus said, and how Jesus saves. And right now we're just focusing on how Jesus saw. As he was passing by, he saw a man blind from birth. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but the first question I'm thinking is, where is he going? He was passing by, so that means he's going somewhere. Goodness, he's Jesus, the Son of God, this Jesus, our Jesus. And he decides to stop for this ordinary blind man? Doesn't he know, like we know the story, we know where he's going. Like, is he going to Jerusalem? Is he going to the cross? Like, why does he have time to stop for this ordinary man? But he saw him. Church, how many times do you walk in this life and you're just wondering, does anyone see me? Can someone just be present with me? And what Jesus is showing us is that he's showing us what compassion looks like. One of my pastor friends used to tell me, he's a pastor in the city of Nashville, and he used to tell me, he said, Jacob, let me teach you what compassion looks like. Have you ever gone down Broadway or any very busy street or any street in general where you see a beggar on the street? Where are people looking? They're looking at the stores, they're looking at all the other places. Where are they not looking? They're not looking at them. They're not humanizing them. He said, let me teach you what compassion is. Compassion is looking at people in the eye, and by saying that, saying, I see you. I see you. And church, I don't know where you are this morning. You could have just walked in and you were just like, ah, it's another Sunday. I hope you know that Jesus is here with us through his Holy Spirit and is saying, I see you. Not like this condemning, like, oh, I see you. But more like, I know it's been a busy week. I know that there have been a lot of hardships that have happened this week. I know that you just got out of the doctor's office and you're trying to get through rehab. I know that's a struggle. I know that you haven't gone through like a really good week or a week that has been beneficial to you. But guess what? I see you and I already love you, okay? That's the huge first thing, is that Jesus sees this blind man, this ordinary blind man. Now moving on to verses 2-5. Jesus speaks. He says, verse 2, his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus answered. "This came about so that God's work might be displayed in him. We must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Now, a lot of us get stuck on that very first verse, right? In verse 2, his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" I want to go ahead and like expose this whole, like, you know what? The disciples, they're hanging out with Jesus. And one of the things that's a guarantee is that although they ask this question, because they're Jewish, it's coming from their heritage, although they ask that question, they get to experience Jesus seeing this blind man. They get to experience Jesus exposing God's work. So although they ask that question, they're with Jesus. They're just hanging out with Jesus. So one of the things that we got to see is, are we just hanging out with Jesus? Are we with him for this? But also that question, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" I think sometimes we're so quick to talk about who sinned, why they sinned, rather than talking about who saves and why he saves. They're right. It's a fair question to ask. Who sinned, this man or his parents? But rather, Jesus doesn't take much time. Just verse 3. "Neither this man nor his parents sinned." There you go. Boom. One verse. "Neither this man nor his parents sinned." What does he spend more time on? He spends more time on talking about who saves, why he's here. "This came about so that God's work might be displayed in him. We must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." I want to keep on focusing on that word presence. He sees that this man is a sinner, but we're more focusing on how Jesus is the Savior. He's rather focusing on his presence over his perfection. And I think sometimes when we read this text, we keep on focusing on the perfection part. Like, oh, what did he do? He's blind. Like, blah, 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 blah. And I think in our world, we're doing the same thing. We go week to week, 168 hours, talking about how we messed up, how broken we are, and we're wronged where we've been. But rather, Jesus is saying, hey, focus on my presence over your perfection. Focus on my presence over your perfection. I'm here. I already love you. And guess what? I'm going to heal you. That's so good. Verse 6. After he said these things, he spat on the ground, made some mud from saliva, and spread the mud on his eyes. Verse 7. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." Think about this. Just think about how silly this is. Jesus has spit on the ground, right? And the blind man, the disciples are just watching him. Just think about this with me. Jesus just spits on the ground, makes mud out of the ground, and just puts it on the blind man's eyes and says, go and wash. What would you do in that situation, you know? Jesus just spits on the ground. It's just so bizarre. Like, you're gonna... And there's no promise of that he's going to heal him or that he's going to see. He just does this act and just simply says, go. What? That is absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. But I want you to look at the faith of the blind man. He had his own urgency. Brothers and sisters, he had his own urgency. I wonder, going back to how Jesus saw him, I wonder if anyone ever saw him before, and this was the first man, the very first person that looked him in the eye and actually said something to him. This ordinary blind man that the rest of society said, you're broken, you have no worth, so you're just cut to the curb. This blind man had his own urgency. He said, this Jesus, something about this Jesus, I want to go and die. I want to go and wash myself after all this. I think about the passage, that very first sign, right, in John chapter 2, that, well, as Southern Baptists, we don't really like to preach this text. But in John chapter 2, how Jesus turned water into wine, that Mary goes and says to the servants, do whatever he tells you. And the disciples thinking of the disciples, these servants that are just going to these jars of water, and somehow it's going to turn into wine. And out of their faithful obedience, a miracle happened and it got turned into wine. I think about that encountering this Jesus, we do whatever he says because we're faithful in obedience, because we encounter a God who loves us even in our brokenness. Even when the rest of the culture says, you're worthless, you have nothing to offer, Jesus says, I see you, I already love you, I want you to be a part of me, be faithful and obey. And obedience is not something scary. Obedience is actually that is something sweet. We don't do it because we owe him anything. We do it because we love him. We can't help but love him because he already loves us. So this blind man goes and washes. And what happens? He left, washed, and came back seeing. Verse 8, his neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar said, isn't this the one who is sitting begging? Some said he's the one, and others saying no, but he looks like him. See, there's a promise in this, okay? That when Jesus encounters us, that we're going to have a reason to say something about him. Because when Jesus encounters us, he is going to intervene and remove this spiritual darkness that we can now start seeing. Now, I know, it's a culture where as soon as we get into talking about healing, it's just like, well, I had someone pray over me and nothing happened. Or I had this situation come up, but nothing happened. I know that, and I'm here with you in that. But what's so good about this text is that when Jesus intervenes, he's going to do something. He is always going to do something. And the thing that he is doing here is not only removing some man's physical blindness, he is removing spiritual blindness so that he can actually see, his soul to see. And people will always ask questions. Who is this? You were blind. How did you get to this point? And look at this ordinary blind man. It wasn't some priest. It wasn't some really religious guy. This is a guy who was born blind, and he's been sitting in this area this entire time. He had no religious background, and he just simply said, this man, Jesus, made mud, spread it on my eyes, and told me, go to Siloam and wash. This should be affirming for us. This should be encouraging to us that as Jesus intervenes, and he will, as Jesus comes, and he will, he'll remove the veil and remove the spiritual blindness if we allow him to. And we will always have the opportunity to share of this Jesus. Ordinary people like you and me. Ordinary people like you and me have the chance to tell others about Jesus. There's a part of the text I wanted to get into, but I don't think the Holy Spirit is leading me that way. When we're on this mission together, as we're sharing the gospel together, I think about how this blind man was ordinary, and I think about the unity that we have as brothers and sisters. I think about how there is a lot of lost people in our world. Let's just name it and claim it. We're just going to talk about it. There are a lot of lost people in our world. But we focus way too much on what we need to do to change the curriculum in church, what we need to do to fix church. We only have enough time to talk about Jesus. And I think sometimes we become more divided at talking about things that really eternally don't matter. This ordinary blind man, he could talk about how his entire life, this happened, and no one looked at me. He could have complained, but instead he just tells the teachers and neighbors that he was saved by this man, Jesus. Later in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 17, Jesus prays for his believers and says, "I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their word. May they all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." Jesus literally says in John chapter 17 that it's in our unity that a lost world will know that the Father sent him. We don't just share the gospel urgently by ourselves. We're together as one body, brothers and sisters, together. Together. And it's more than that, too. It's not just unity. Do you know, brothers and sisters, that you have the Holy Spirit in you? Do you know that you have the Holy Spirit in you? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about, "Don't you yourselves know that you are God's temple and that the Spirit of God lives in you?" When Jesus removes the spiritual blindness, the Holy Spirit intervenes in our life, enters into our life, and we participate in what he is already doing. We're not alone in this. Sometimes when we are just going out and being sent, we think we're alone, but we're really not. Do you know that the very holiness of God lives inside you, this Holy Spirit, and you have a power to go out to share his gospel? You are not alone. And I think in our world, what the enemy wants us to think and believe is that we're alone. That, how can I do this? I'm just an ordinary man. I'm just an ordinary woman. But Scripture tells us that we have the Holy Spirit in us. And this Spirit unifies us together as brothers and sisters, sons and daughters. There is an urgency to share Jesus' gospel, but are you urgent to unify and to forgive your brother and sister who has wronged you? There's an urgency to this. And we can either use our time to talk about who sinned, or we can use our time to talk about who saves. This Jesus already loves you. And when I read this text, and when I think about this, I think about my own life and how my story matters. That it's not just the people in Scripture, it's also my story. Your story also matters. Your story is a way that, just like this ordinary blind man, that you can go and tell others because you simply can't help it. This Jesus encountered me. He loved me. He loves me and he's with me. He's the one who never left. He's this Jesus. Let me tell you about a guy who healed me I didn't see before. Let me just simply tell you about this God who loved me, who allows me to see. We make things so complicated. You don't have to get all like very educated, like, I gotta make sure that I feel a little bit more confident. Jesus will give you confidence. Just tell them about Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit has been telling me this morning. I just want to tell you about Jesus. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Jesus is a man who came to this earth to see us and to love us and to die for us. Jesus is a God who's come to be with us, to give us a hope. And that's not just a message for Christmas, and that's not just a message for Easter. That's true today, January 27th, 2019. That's true today. Jesus is still in the business in saving lives. He's still at work to love on people. He's still doing it through his church. You want to know how? Over 300 churches in the month of February are getting together to just pray miracles of God. You want to know how? We just heard our sister talk about how as she was going through fear, that she was affirmed in her lostness. You want to know how? I've gone and met people over in Trevecca who have just gone by thinking suicide their entire week, and they have met this Jesus and said, I didn't know that this God has come to love me even though I'm so broken. And that's just the other thing, church. It's a world looking for Jesus, not knowing that it's Jesus who they look for. They just need ordinary people like you and me to just tell them. We tell them by looking at them in the eyes, in the face, and saying, I see you. We tell them by, hey, I love you. I'm here with you. I'm not rushing anything. I'm present with you. And we tell them by saying, hey, this Jesus, he already loves you. And he's here with you. As I close, I want us to really think about that. Are we urgent enough? Are we urgent enough as brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, to be unified? We only have enough time to ask one question. And rather than focusing on who sinned, why don't we focus on who saves? Two, if you don't know this man Jesus this morning, I want to tell you, this man Jesus is not only so sweet, but when I have suffered and I have gone through my suffering, he hasn't just bailed on me. That in the suffering, in my own blindness, he said, hey, go and wash. In my own struggle, he's been there to walk with me. And I have never been alone. Is that your story this morning? And if that's your story, we have a celebration that we need to tell others. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we love you and we need you. Help us to trust you in the day to day because we do need you. Lord Jesus, will you come into this place? And will you save us? We have a story to tell. So Lord Jesus, will we go and tell others by your Holy Spirit? I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.